The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I dream about Robin almost every night. Together, we walk through the woods, tracking deer or elk. In the darkness, I can see her looking back at me and smiling. I remember that smile so clearly. I see her reaching out to take my hand, and I can't help myself but reach out. I can feel my fingers brushing against hers. I can see her gentle smile as her eyes meet mine, and then I hear it. The crack of a distant gunshot. I see her eyes, wide and lifeless. Her face is dirty and she lies naked in the mud. The same way she looked the very last time I saw her, and then I wake up. It's been 2 years since I lost her. 2 years that I've been trying to find my way without her. It hasn't been easy. Loss is a hell of a thing. If you've never experienced it, I envy you. The pain never really goes away, and I still couldn't tell you how to handle it. Me, I drown it with everything I possibly can. Some nights I need a drink. Some nights I need to get laid. Most of the time, I hunt. It's nice to have a task of some sort to occupy my mind. I'm a hunter by nature. I've always loved the thrill of the chase, and I've always been good at it. Even without the wolf inside of me, hunting is in my blood. The wolf just makes it easier, more enjoyable, and when the moment of the kill comes, it makes the taste of fresh blood all the sweeter. I used to go out alone, right after Robin died. I'd head out after the sun went down and let the wolf out, although it was never the same without her. Once upon a time, the hunt was something we shared. In the darkness of the night, she and I would venture off into the woods, smiling and whispering to each other. When we were away from the town, we'd turn, and then we'd run, chasing animal scents. We were our own little pack, our own little family. It was perfect. Then I lost her. Fate can be cruel like that. The hunt is the only thing I have left. The only thing I can hold on to that I used to share with her. It's not something I'm keen to ever let go of, but doing it without her just felt empty, hollow. Hunting as a wolf is such an intense experience. Nothing else really compares. I have friends I often go out with, people who don't know what I am. It's a shame I need to hide that from them, but werewolves don't exactly have a great reputation. We wait with our rifles and use our collars to lure prey. It's still enjoyable, but there's no chase. The rush isn't quite the same. Shooting a buck from a distance couldn't possibly compare to the primal thrill of ambushing it and ripping into it with claw and tooth. Regardless, I work with what I've got, and I'm happy to at least have that. Hiding what I really am is a fair enough trade-off for holding on to what I love, and having decent company to do it with. I don't get to let the wolf out as often as I'd like. These days, I'm lucky if I get to turn a couple of times a month, if that. Life gets in the way more often than not, and as much as I love the chase, I've learned to be careful. Werewolves aren't quite as resilient as some legends would claim. You don't need a silver bullet to kill one. I started my Sunday morning the same way I had too many times before. Slightly hungover, and in a stranger's bed at the university dorm. I vaguely remember the kid asleep beside me. Cute, blonde, probably 5 years younger than I am. I made a point not to wake him up as I got out of his bed and gathered up my clothes. It was early enough that nobody would notice me slipping out of the residence hall. I'm a little ashamed to admit that it wasn't my first time doing so. I was hungry, and since my life was already a disaster, I figured I couldn't do any more harm by stopping by the diner just across the street for breakfast. I ordered my usual, 3 over-easy eggs, with a side of sausage, pea meal, and rye toast, and with a black coffee. The sky was just starting to light up as dawn broke, and I figured I had time to head back home and sleep in my own bed for a few hours before having to deal with the day. Then, of course, my phone buzzed with an incoming call. The name of the display read MJ, and I almost didn't want to answer. MJ Montgomery used to be the girl at the record store to me. I can't remember how we'd gotten to the subject of dead spouses, but it was something we had in common. I'd lost Robin, and she'd lost her fiancé. People bond over the strangest things. She'd coped a little better than I had over the past years and a bit. I had some suspicions that she and her housemate Shelby had a thing going on, but I was never quite sure. Either way, she'd made it her personal mission in life to check in on me every few days. It's not like I hated it, but every now and then it grated on me just a bit. "Hi, MJ," I said as I answered the phone. I didn't ask how the hell she knew I was even up at this hour.
"Up late last night?"
she asked. There was a hint of weariness in her voice, as if she knew what I'd been up to. "Might have been. What are you, psychic now?"
"No, but I saw you at the college bar last night. Just wanted to make sure you got back okay. You looked pretty toasted."
"Yeah, I'm fine," I murmured, before a thought crossed my mind. "Wait, what were you doing at a college bar?"
"I just wanted to grab a drink with a friend. You looked busy, so I didn't want to bug you. You sure you're doing all right?"
I picked up the probing tone in her voice and didn't like where this was going. She'd probably seen me chatting up some guys and had spent the night worrying I'd do something dumb. She'd been half right.
"I'm getting by,"
I said, rubbing my temples. Our little chat wasn't doing wonders for my hangover.
"Sorry, MJ, I gotta run. I'll stop by later and say hi, all right?"
I hung up. She was sweet, but I could have done without her doting. I finished up my breakfast before heading home. It was a bit of a hike from downtown, but I didn't mind it. I figured the fresh air might do me some good. I'd hardly made it halfway down the block before the scent hit me. A scent I knew, but not one that I'd smelled very often. Another wolf. Not one that I recognized either. I stopped dead in my tracks, taking in the morning air. Whoever it came from, it wasn't close. But Tavum Sound is surrounded by dense forest. Not a bad hiding spot for a wolf. The scent lingered in the air for a moment, and some primal instinct of mine demanded I follow it. If I could smell another wolf, there was no doubt that they could also smell me. Any lingering thoughts of sleep I had vanished pretty quickly. I am the only werewolf in Tavum Sound. A new scent was a big deal. Exactly what it meant, I couldn't quite say, but it had my undivided attention. I had met with other werewolves before, aside from Robin. Back in the day, she and I had even hunted with some of them, but it had been a while since one of them had passed through town. I won't lie, it did excite me a little bit. My social circle was fine, but I would have given anything to run into another wolf. Some old legends say that the first werewolves were brutal and evil people cursed by the Fae with a bestial form, although you'd never guess it by talking to most modern wolves. Contrary to what some might expect, most werewolves aren't all that hostile towards each other. In my experience, my kind has always been pretty sociable. Hell, in some cities, there were even bars where wolves tended to hang out. At a glance, they looked like any ordinary establishment, and you'd never expect the patronage was bound by their shared inclination to turn into giant bipedal wolves. I was lost in thought as I made my way home. The smell was faint, but still present, and I was sure it was getting stronger as I got closer to home. Robin and I had owned an old farmhouse on the edge of town. It was a bit pricey to keep, but it had run in her family for years. Getting rid of it felt wrong, like a betrayal of some sort. Walking up the dirt road home, the smell was strong. The other wolf had been there. Looking for me, perhaps. It didn't seem as if he was still around. The smell was too weak, but there was something else there. Something dead. I paused and looked over towards the tree line. I couldn't see anything at a glance, but I knew that something was there. It was close. I trudged through the grass and into the forest. The smell got stronger. A fresh kill. Not just any kill, either. This was a bear. I smelled it long before I saw it. It lay in a heap on the ground, its stomach torn open. Its entrails were spewed out amongst the weeds. It couldn't have been dead for more than half an hour or so. I could smell the scent of the other wolf on its fur. No doubt they had been the one to do this. I scanned the trees around me, looking for movements, but I saw nothing. It was just me and the bear, well enough alone. I huffed before taking a step back from the dead animal, studying it and trying to figure out why it had been left for me. If this was some kind of threat or warning, it felt anemic. If I'd been trying to threaten someone, I wouldn't considerately leave a fresh bear in the woods by their house. I'd put its head on their porch. No, this felt more like some sort of offering or a gift. Placed somewhere I'd smell it without coming into my territory. The other wolf knew where I was, and this was their means of reaching out. It was a little crude, but they certainly had my attention. And I had lunch. I hadn't taken many days off from my job at the quarry since Robin had died, so I had plenty of time saved up to investigate. I took a few days off, starting the very next day. I didn't want to keep my new friend waiting for too long. Judging by the scent on the wind, the other wolf had stayed in the area. I was glad he didn't just seem to be passing through. I figured he was probably waiting for my response, and I planned on giving it to him in person. I packed everything I thought I'd need. Supplies for a few days in the woods, and a hunting rifle, just in case I needed it. Then I headed down towards the old campground on the south side of town and started my trek. I had a feeling I wouldn't be out in the wilderness all that long, but there was a scent to follow, and my new friend clearly wasn't staying in town. It did occur to me that this was a little odd. Why wouldn't a wolf make themselves comfortable? However, I figured I'd get my answer soon enough. The scent was fresh. It wasn't hard to track the other wolf into the forest, and the further south I went, the stronger the scent got. About an hour after I started out, I began seeing signs as well. Nothing painfully obvious. A dead deer and signs of a camp. My new friend was also a hunter, it seemed. He'd taken what he needed from the body and left it for the other animals. The corpse was a few days old, and close by I found footprints. A trail I could follow deeper into the wilderness. Whoever he was, he certainly wasn't hiding. I stopped at his former campground for lunch, a slow-cooked bear sandwich, before I continued on. The daylight was fading, but the scent was getting stronger. The wolf had left a clear path, and I realized that he must have known I'd follow it. He was leading me on, and that just intrigued me all the more. Now I wanted to see where this ended. I needed to. In time, the trail led me to a dirt road. This was well off the beaten path. I doubted the road I was on even had a name. Up near the end, I could see a gravel driveway leading up towards a small cabin with lights in the windows. There were plenty of cottages around Tavum Sound, with lots of lakes that summer visitors enjoyed. This might have been a nicer one in the 80s, but now it was showing its age. Someone had obviously tried to maintain it, but it didn't look like they'd had much money to put into it. The sky was getting dark. My journey was almost at its end, and I headed down towards the cabin. I could see a figure sitting on the porch,
no doubt waiting for me. I suppose I should have expected as much. As far as I could tell, he was alone. I could see a shimmering lake behind the cabin, and I could smell roast venison. No doubt prepared in anticipation of my arrival. He'd probably been able to smell me coming a mile off. I wasn't sure what I'd expected. A rugged, older man with a beard, perhaps. Someone more stereotypically masculine. What I got wasn't that, but I can't say I was disappointed either. He was young and handsome, clean-shaven, but I suspected he would have looked nice with a bit of stubble. His hair was blonde, and he had a Nordic look to him. His body was toned beneath his clothes. He'd cleaned himself up well. "You must be from Tavum Sound," he said softly as I drew nearer. "And you must be the one who left the bear," I replied. I stopped just in front of his cabin. The boy nodded slowly. "I hope I don't make you uncomfortable or frighten you, but I wanted to get your attention. When I came here, I could smell you. I hadn't met anyone like me before. I wasn't sure how to proceed, and I didn't want to come off as a threat." His tone implied something else, although I tried not to read into it. "An offer?" I said. "Something like that. I made dinner if you're hungry. I've also got beer." His intentions seemed honorable enough. I didn't sense anything off, and so I went in to join him.
"Do you have a name?"
I asked him as I joined him inside the cabin. It was modestly furnished, but still fairly nice.
Luke Graham,
he replied from the kitchen.
"Yours?"
"Miller. Amanda Miller," I replied, teasing his nerves. "You know, that was an awfully ballsy move, what you did with that bear yesterday."
"Hopefully he didn't come off as too bold," he replied, coming out of the kitchen. He held a beer for me to drink. He pulled out a chair for me at his kitchen table, and I sat down across from him.
"The jury's still out on that," I replied, as I took a long swig. "So, you've never met another wolf, huh?"
"Nope. Haven't seen anything else like me since I got turned."
"You were turned?" I asked, frowning.
"You weren't?"
"No. Not a lot of people get turned unless they mess around with things they shouldn't. Old things in the forest and the like."
A flush of embarrassment crossed his face. It told me everything I needed to know.
"Best not to get involved with those things. But I suppose now you've learned your lesson,"
I noted.
"Consider yourself lucky. It's not bad being a wolf. There are whole communities of us in Toronto and Hamilton. Probably elsewhere, too."
"But you're the only one in Tavum Sound," he said.
"Yeah. I always thought it was a little ironic, but most people indulge the human side of them more than they indulge the wolf. It's easier to build a nice life, with a cushy job down in the GTA. They stay down there to work, then on the weekends they head up north, vanish into the woods, and have the best of both worlds."
"Not you, though," he said. I shrugged.
"I've got reasons to stick around," I said. "You, on the other hand, I'm guessing you came up here to hide."
I took another swig of my beer. "I had a bit of trouble back in Sudbury, where I used to live," he said. "I just got that feeling, you know, that need to hunt, and it felt good. Then I guess people started getting scared. It took some time getting used to what I am now. I wasn't too sure what else to do," he admitted. "I haven't been like this for very long. I like it. I really, really do. The power you feel when you turn, it's amazing. I don't know how to act."
"Around another wolf?"
I finished. He nodded.
"Yeah. Well, lesson one, relax. The wolf doesn't make you any less human. It's not some beast you have to fight back. It's part of you. Embrace it. Love it. Don't be ashamed of it. You are what you are now. And don't ever apologize for it."
"Right," he said, and managed a sheepish smile. "I mean, I'm trying," I really am. Sorry. I'm rambling. I imagined this going so much differently. I raised an eyebrow at him, and it dawned on me that his adorable sheepish demeanor was coming from somewhere else besides general social awkwardness. The way he blushed, the way he displayed the bear by my house. I'd seen this before. It all clicked into place. That little thing had been trying to flirt. He was absolutely terrible at it, but bless his heart, he tried.
"Did you now?"
I asked, half-teasing now.
"Well, you got my attention. Now I'm here. What exactly did you expect was going to happen?"
I'm not looking for a fight, if that's what you're asking," he insisted. "I've made my peace with this. I can live with what I am. I indulge it every now and then, you know. I enjoy it, but, well, why enjoy it alone?" And there it was. He had a cute, shy smile to him that I liked, and I mulled over the prospect of giving him what he wanted in my head. So long as he had more beer, I was certainly open to it. He'd make a good enough distraction for a night, and he was my type after all, blonde and cute. I polished off my beer in silence, and he watched me intently, unable to hide the slight blush that had dusted his cheeks. I almost enjoyed keeping him waiting, even though I'd already made up my mind.
"If you think you can keep up, maybe I'll indulge with you," I said.
I tipped him a smile and watched him melt. He tried to smile, the confident smile of some dumb, horny 20-something who thought he could take on the world. "I think I can," he said, and it was the first thing he said to me that he sounded entirely sure of. The sex was incredible. I hadn't expected such a meek little thing to be so rough. Graham had that insatiable stamina I've come to enjoy from men like him, and I suspect the wolf in him only served to amplify that. I hadn't been with another wolf since Robin, but Graham had an energy to him that I outright adored. He almost kept up with me. To say that I enjoyed that odd little booty call would be an understatement, but at the moment I still don't see it as anything more than it was. Two strangers intermingling in a fit of animal lust for that familiar rush of dopamine that we're all after in one way or another. When all was said and done, I rolled off of him and rested my head on the pillow to sleep. I could feel him trying to spoon me, and I allowed it. If he wanted to pretend this was something meaningful for a night, who was I to stop him? Either way, I'd found what I was looking for, and I'd be gone in the morning. End of story. I'm not quite sure how long I slept for. Longer than I wanted to be sure. I know that I tossed and turned, but that's to be expected. I haven't slept easy in 2 years, and another hedonistic night of sex and alcohol wasn't going to change that. I still dreamt about Robin. I still saw her face, her gentle blue eyes and flowing blonde hair. I felt her touch on my cheek in the moonlight and saw her smile before. I awoke clutching the pillow close to my chest. I'd curled into a ball and I could hear Graham's voice in the distance. His hand was on my shoulder, shaking me gently. "Amanda?" he asked. "Amanda, are you okay?" I felt my muscles tense as I grounded myself in reality again. I could feel my fingers curling into claws that ripped the fabric of the pillow before I calmed myself and sat up.
"I'm fine,"
I murmured as I rubbed my temples. In the dawn light, he didn't look convinced, and I didn't really care.
"What time is it?"
I asked, before remembering that I'd booked the day off. 5, I think. 6, maybe. "You're moving a lot. Are you sure you're okay?"
"I'm fine."
A frustrated tone had crept into my voice. I got out of the bed and stretched. The bones in my spine popped in the most satisfying way, but it didn't ease any of the tension in my shoulders. I started looking for my clothes as Graham sat in the back, watching me.
"What are you doing?"
he asked.
"Heading out," I replied. "Last night was fun. It really was. I've got to run some errands in town, though."
"You're not staying?" he asked. I scoffed.
"Staying for what?" Well, I was hoping you might want to run off into the woods and rip some deer apart, I asked. He was silent. Look, I had fun, I said. I really did, but if you're looking for your Obi-Wan Kenobi, I'm not the mentor type, and I'm really not looking for a relationship right now. If you want to run or fool around later, you know where to find me. But right now, I've got to get going.
The poor kid looked genuinely dejected, like some poor lost puppy. I almost felt bad for him. Almost. So maybe we could see each other again, he asked, hopefully. I paused, dressing and choosing my words carefully before I spoke.
I've got a few days off work. Like I said, you know where to find me.
He seemed at least happy to hear that.
Right. Okay, then.
Well, could I give you a ride into town at least? Save you the hike back? Now that I couldn't pass up. Graham dropped me off at my place so I could at least get a fresh change of clothes and a proper shower. I'd been a little afraid that when I was done, he'd still be in his truck outside my house, waiting for me, but thankfully he was gone by the time I was ready to head into town. I'd been meaning to drop some of that bear off at MJ's. Her housemate had a taste for wild game, and despite the doting, she's still decent company. MJ is a short and cute little thing, with long brown hair and big round glasses. Her face lit up with a familiar, timid smile when she saw me at the door.
Hey, what brings you to the neighborhood?
She asked. I held up the Tupperware I'd brought filled with bear.
I had a special delivery, I replied. I figured you and your friends might want some. I don't think I can eat a whole bear by myself.
Bear? MJ asked, taking the Tupperware.
I didn't think you hunted bear. I don't, but a guy I know killed one and left me with it.
A whole bear? MJ asked, obviously skeptical, judging by the look in her eyes. She was putting some of the pieces together.
Jeez, he must have liked you a lot. Seems to. He's a little brash and very awkward, but I guess we got a bit in common. Still, I'm not really sure I'm looking for a relationship right now.
I followed MJ into the kitchen and watched as she put the meat in her fridge. She took out a pitcher of lemonade and poured us both a glass while I grabbed a seat at the counter.
You tell him that?
She asked as she brought me my glass.
Of course. He took it well enough. Are you going to see him again?
That was the million-dollar question, wasn't it?
Maybe. We'll see.
I took a sip of the lemonade and listened for any movement upstairs. Shelby didn't seem to be around.
Well, I think you should. You said you've got a lot in common, right? Maybe it'll be good for you. You know, having someone you can relate to. I just said I'm not looking for anyone, MJ. Who said it has to be anything? I just think that maybe it'll be good for you to just sort of have someone, you know? You don't have to date them, but I don't know. You always just seemed kind of aimless.
I hummed in response as I stared down at my lemonade. I suppose MJ had a point. Truth be told, it kind of worries me. I mean, I get it. But when I lost Nathan, I kind of just buried it all for a bit. Then, when I couldn't do that anymore, I really didn't know what to do with myself. If I hadn't met Shelby, I don't know how I would have handled it. It was nice to have someone around, though, and I think it might help you, too.
You're dating again,
I warned her, half teasing.
Sorry,
she said, offering a small, apologetic smile. I gave her an affectionate nudge before emptying my cup and mulling over what she said. It wasn't the first time I'd wondered if she had a point, but something about her tone. It got me thinking. I'd met Robin on a hiking trail in Hamilton when I was around 18. I'd grown up in a rough part of town, and I'd been hanging out with the crowd there ever since I was a kid. Every weekend we'd get drunk, ride down to the forest, and let the wolf out. We'd tear through the woods, hunting fresh meat and ripping it to shreds. We'd never killed anyone. God, no. But every now and then, some of us liked to spook the locals. I did it a little more than most, mainly because I thought I had something to prove. I'd leaned into my reputation as the crazy, fiery redhead of the group, and I probably would have kept doing that until one day, one of those hikers I'd startled fought back. One moment, I'd been staring down some cute blonde going for a walk, and the next, I was staring down an 8-foot-tall wolf who'd knocked me on my ass. I'd run off whimpering and scared for my life for the first time. I'd expected she'd chase me, but no. As soon as I was out of sight, she vanished. I ran into her again at a bar a few weeks later, and the moment our eyes met, I knew she recognized me. I'd expect her to get mad or something, but she just smiled at me, came over, and said, "Hope I didn't spook you too hard, pup." I never thought that would be how I met the love of my life, but that was it. When Robin came into my life, everything changed. Life stopped being about the thrill. She showed me that it could be quite simple and beautiful. If it weren't for her, I don't know who I might have become. Some of the folks I used to run with got put down after going too far. One of them killed a human. Another got hit by a truck. Things like that. It's not any way for a wolf to die. For so long, Robin had grounded me. She'd been my better half, and when she died, she took away the best of me. I would have given anything to get it back.
"Why don't we head out for the night?"
I'd said to Graham. I stopped by his cottage again, the day after I'd talked to MJ. We'd screwed and relaxed in the afterglow when I'd said it. "Out?" he'd asked. "Like a hunt?"
"Yeah, why not?"
I'd looked over at him, and his eyes had lit right up. Yeah, I'd love to," he said, and I'd gotten out of bed. I didn't bother dressing myself, and just waited for him to follow. The sky above was beautifully dark, and looking into it, I exhaled as I unleashed the wolf. It felt so good to set it free again. Beside me, I could see Graham changing as well. He scampered away like a puppy, grinning from ear to ear. His eyes never left me. We both picked up the scent of some nearby deer almost immediately, and I led the charge. We closed on them quickly, prowling through the bush. He was clumsy, but he followed my direction. When I motioned for him to stay put, while I circled around to run them into him, he seemed to understand. The deer looked up once or twice at the sound of rustling brush, but they weren't spooked enough to run. Not until I wanted them to, at least. When I leapt out of the brush to startle them, they were already dead. Robin and I had done this 100 times. The moment the deer saw me, they bolted and they ran right into Graham. He sprang from the surrounding brush and caught one of the fleeing deer, a doe, by the throat. With overwhelming strength, he slammed it against the dirt and sank his teeth into its throat, damn near decapitating it with the sheer force of his bite. His claws dug into its body, crushing its ribs, and it took me a moment to realize that the poor thing was still alive, for the time being, at least. It wouldn't last much longer, bleeding out onto the dirt. I'll admit, I hadn't expected that much enthusiasm from him. Most wolves usually weren't so aggressive, but I chalked it up to adrenaline. The deer's companions ran off, but I let them go. We had our prey. Graham and I ate well that night. We hauled that deer back to his little cabin, and I showed him how to take it apart properly. I couldn't remember the last time I'd had so much fun, and if it had never stopped, maybe I would have been happy. Hunting with Graham became my new pastime for the next month or so. Every weekend, he and I would race through the woods, sometimes never changing back until we had to return to civilization. During my weekdays, I'd work at the quarry. Sometimes he'd come over afterwards and we'd sit and talk. He told me about his life up in Sudbury, where up until recently he'd been a quiet, miserable college kid digging into old fae stories, and I'd told him about mine in Hamilton. I knew he saw the old pictures of me and Robin on the walls, but it was a while before he ever asked about them. "Who was she?" The question had come out of nowhere on a quiet Thursday night, and it derailed my train of thought. Sorry, I didn't mean to. It's okay if you don't want to talk about it.
It's fine, I sighed as I rested my head on his shoulder. I figured you were going to ask eventually.
I took a moment, working up to it before I finally began. I told him everything. How we'd met in Hamilton, why I'd come up to Tavum Sound with her, and why I'd stayed after she was gone. If you don't mind me asking, what happened to her? Was his next question. I'd figured that was coming too, and I'd been dreading it.
Some hunter saw us running one night and figured she was a bear, I said, struggling to keep my voice even. Vic Moore, I'd seen him around before. I heard he was a hell of a shot. I never thought I'd see it firsthand. He hit her in the throat. As soon as I saw her go down, though, all I saw was red. Every fiber of my being wanted to rip him limb from limb, but she was there, lying in the dirt. She'd changed back, and I couldn't stop the bleeding. She was looking into my eyes. One minute she was there, and then I shook my head. She wasn't.
Jesus, he said quietly. He tried to put a hand on my shoulder, and I shrugged it off.
I think I'm going to call it a night, I said.
Just talking about Robin had exhausted me.
I'll see you later.
Graham tried to stammer something, but I really didn't pay much attention to it. I just wanted to be alone for a while. It was Saturday when Graham called me next, a few days after I'd told him about Robin. As tough as that night had been, my mind was in other places as I drove down to his cabin. If anything, I'd say I was in a good mood and looked forward to enjoying this weekend just as I had the last few I'd spent with him. Graham was waiting for me out front of his cabin when I pulled up, which I found just a bit unusual. He looked like an eager puppy as I got out of my car and even came down to greet me with a kiss.
Today my birthday or something?
I asked, half joking.
Something like that. I was thinking about what you said the other night, so I got you a present.
My eyebrow raised.
A present?
I repeated. Although before I could ask anything more, he took me by the hand and pulled me towards the woods.
Come on, you're gonna love it.
I followed him, curious as to what exactly he had in mind and hoping that it wasn't another bear. I hadn't even finished eating the last one yet. As he led me through the woods, I picked up a scent of sweat and fear. It wasn't long before I saw his present, and when I did, I couldn't take another step forward. I hadn't said a word to Vic Moore ever since I'd lost Robin, but I never wanted to see him like he was then. His arms were bound above his head, and his body was lashed to a tree. His eyes were wide with terror, and he struggled to get free and tried to scream through the rag stuffed into his mouth.
What do you think? Graham asked cheerfully. I found him. Vic Moore, the guy you told me about.
I stayed frozen to the spot, staring at him, before looking back at Graham.
What the hell is this?
I asked.
You said he's the one that killed your wife, didn't you?
He asked. I can see it all over your face, Amanda. I know that what he did hurt you, and it hurt you badly. I love you. I really do. And I don't want you to live with that pain anymore. So, I thought, maybe it'll make you feel better to get some closure.
Closure?
I asked. It took a moment before my brain registered what he was talking about.
No. Jesus, Graham, no.
Why not? You said you wanted to tear him limb from limb. There's no one here but me. We can do it together. I can even cut him loose, and we could hunt him down if you wanted.
No. Graham, just let him go.
He blinked, looking back at me with genuine confusion.
Why? Why?
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
Because we're not murderers.
No. We're better than them. Better than him.
You told me that the wolf is part of us. To embrace it, love it, and not be ashamed of it. You said that we are what we are and not to ever apologize for it. We are the alpha predators, you and me. You have helped me embrace what I am. I want to help you now. This isn't helping anyone, I said. For Christ's sake, just let him go.
Graham's eyes remained locked onto mine, still confused, Then a new look came over his face. He'll tell people if I do. But don't worry. It's okay. If you don't want to do it, I can do it for you. His body began to change, and as it did, Vic's eyes grew slowly wider and wider. Graham loomed over him, hulking and covered in coarse white fur. His blue eyes settled on Vic, and he drew back his claw for one fatal swipe. I couldn't let that happen. I raced to Graham, my body changing as I did. When I hit him at top speed. We hit the ground hard, and he looked at me, still confused. He truly didn't understand why I was doing this. I glared back at him, warning him to back off. For moments, I was sure he'd stop. But I guess I thought too much of him. Graham came at me, lunging at me and sinking his fangs into my shoulder. I writhed beneath his weight, struggling to get him off of me, tearing at his hide and staining it red with blood. I slammed him against a tree, hard enough to splinter it before he relented. When he came for me again, I was ready for him. I caught him as he charged and forced him to the side, sending him off balance. Graham fell and rolled to the dirt before getting up and baring his fangs at me. I stared back at him, silently pleading with him to stop, but he had made up his mind already. If I wasn't going to hunt with him, I was just more prey. He rushed at me one last time, and this time I fought back. My claws raked across his face as our bodies collided, spraying blood across the dirt. I shoved him hard, knowing he would keep trying to attack. He was vicious, but I was smart. As he leapt for me, I caught him by the throat and forced him onto the ground. He kicked and squirmed beneath my grip before I clamped my jaws down on his throat until I tasted blood. I could hear Graham whimpering with pain before I shoved him aside and watched him roll in the dirt, his rear legs kicking weakly as blood spilled from the gash in his throat. I could see his body shrinking, slowly starting to change back. I closed my eyes and exhaled before letting the wolf leave me. Graham was a pitiful sight, lying amongst the fallen leaves and bleeding out. I stared at him for the last time, watching him twitch and gasp before turning away. I couldn't watch someone else I cared about bleed out into the dirt, even if they had truly been a monster. I returned to the tree where Vic had been tied up and locked eyes with him. He was dead silent, unable to do more than sputter and sob. That and the dark stain on his pants said enough. I raised one hand and let it change before ripping through the rope that had bound him. Vic collapsed to the ground and pressed himself against the tree, no doubt terrified of me. I couldn't blame him. Hell, I couldn't imagine what was going through his mind at that moment. "Go home," was all I said to him before heading into Graham's cabin, where I'd left a change of clothes. Vic was gone when I stepped out again a few minutes later. Part of me wondered if he'd tell people what he saw, although even if he did, who would believe him? I buried Graham in a shallow grave, the kind of grave fit for an animal. Then I took the beer from his fridge and drove down to MJ's. I had a lot to tell her and a lot to confess. She took it a lot better than I'd expected, and when at last I couldn't hold it in anymore, she let me rest my head in her lap as I cried over all I'd lost. It didn't get rid of any of the pain, but it felt a lot better than burying it.